Now, on the, in the song service, did you notice it was all Kristen Stanfield? And what was that one song you sang, Beautiful Jesus? See how young he was. I'm bringing this up because, young kids, this young man has been a song leader, praise and worship leader in his church ever since he's been a young fellow. And you can tell he loves the Lord with all of his heart. He has not compromised his walk with God, not one bit. He sold himself out to God when he was really young, and he stayed right there. So I'm going to tell you right now, I don't want no excuses out of any of you. Young or old or in between, you can serve God with all your heart, and you don't have to compromise, and you don't have to walk away from him. He's there for each and every one of you. Well, I look out there and see some beautiful faces that I haven't seen for a year. I welcome you into the Lighthouse Church and our services. I hope you get what you came for. If you didn't come for anything, I hope you get it anyhow. Amen. Yeah, you just came because of Easter. Well, then I hope you, Resurrection Day, I hope you receive something from God. We love you. We're glad to see each and every one of you. You have to understand that God has changed directions. It is not the same old, and you cannot get away with what you used to get away with. He is on the move, and he's not going to stop. You know, the Bible says his mercies endure forever. Well, God said his grace and his mercy has been withdrawn from the house of God. In other words, from the religious bunch. If you haven't by now sold out to God, you might not be able to sell yourself out to God. Because he said now he's going out into the world. He's going to get the prostitutes, the whoremongers, the drug addicts. He's going to bring them in. He's going to clean them up, and that is who's going to spread the gospel. So, you know, it's up to you whether or not you're part of this movement, because there's a new movement abroad. It's up to you whether or not you're part of this movement. God has done all he's going to do to draw you to him. He's not going to do another thing. The choice is all yours. You can't serve him 99.9%. You have to serve him 100%. 100%. You can't come into the house of God when you feel like coming into the house of God. God said give him his day. And his day is the seventh day, which is Sunday. All right? So I'm just throwing that little tidbit out there to you, in case you didn't know, that you don't have the option to choose whether or not you come to church. God's word says, I want one day of the week for you to serve me only. All right? I don't know why I said all that, but somebody in here has to hear it. So you've heard it, and now we're going to move on. Father God, I thank you for the people who came out this morning. I thank you for the, I just feel the electricity in the atmosphere, Father. And Father God, I know that you're on the move. You're already moving. You're already doing the great works that you talked about. You're already working with signs, wonders, and miracles. And Father God, the darkness we know has grown into gross darkness. And you said when that happened, your glory was going to be there and your light was going to shine into the darkness. We thank you this morning, Father God, that your light is here. It is shining into the darkness and it is changing and transforming people's lives. Father God, let the truth drop onto ears that are not dull of hearing. Let the truth go deep down into the spirit, man. And then, Father God, we plead the blood of Jesus over the truth that it'll bring forth fruit. And, Father, we thank you for it in the name of Jesus. Amen. All right, I'm going to talk about the prayer of Jesus this morning. And I know everybody has dinner waiting on them when they get out of here at some restaurant or in your kitchen or somewhere. And I hope it doesn't burn on you while you're sitting here. Amen. Our chef is sitting in here, so I hope somebody is home cooking for us, all right? I hope when you sit down to dinner with your family today that you remember what this day is all about. It's all about the price that Jesus paid so that you could sit with your family, that you could enjoy family time, that you can enjoy the love of Christ. You don't have to worry about somebody busting down your door and killing you. Amen. That's not happening yet here in the United States, but God has prophesied that it will. But while it isn't, let's enjoy our peace with Christ. Let's talk about the prayer of Jesus. Before Jesus left the earth and ascended back to the Father, he went back to heaven, before he ever went to the garden and cried out for help. This is before he was crucified. And before he was crucified and died for our sins, he spent time talking to his Father about some important issues. As he was talking to the Heavenly Father, he prayed that we would possess three attributes before he sent us out to be his representatives in the world. He imparted to us his joy, his glory, and his love. You know, Jesus took time to sit down and talk to his Father about what he wanted us to have before he went away. That is pure love. He wasn't crying in a corner somewhere about what he was going to have to go through. He was knelt down before the Father, talking to the Father about you and I. Because he knew what you and I were going to go through. And he wanted us to have what? His joy, not our joy, his glory, and his love. Because our joy does not last. God's joy lasts. And we don't have no glory unless we get it from God. And our love stinks. But God's love is an agape love. It's a pure love. And it's a steadfast love. And he never leaves us nor forsakes us. Let's read his high priestly prayer in John 17, starting at verse 11. Jesus says, I come to you. He's talking to the Father. And these things I speak in the world. He's in the world yet. He hasn't yet been crucified. So that they may have my joy made full in themselves. I have given them your word, and the world has hated them, because they are not of the world, even as I am not of the world. If you're a true child of God, really carrying the anointing of God, even your family's not going to like you. They're going to speak about you behind your back. They're going to crucify you. All right? Isn't that what Jesus just said here? I have given them your word, and the world has hated them, because they are not of the world, even as I am not of the world. I do not ask you to take them out of the world, but to keep them from the evil one. They are not of the world, even as I am not of the world. In other words, if you're a true child of God, you do not belong to the world. You're not going to do the worldly things. Jesus said, just as I'm not of the world, he did not sin. He said, neither do those who belong to me. Now you can tell who you are, whether you're of the world or not, by what you do. Then Jesus goes on to say, sanctify them in the truth. Your word is truth. As you sent me into the world, I also have sent them into the world. For their sakes, I sanctify myself, that they themselves also may be sanctified in truth. Now, guys, we're not supposed to just sit in the house of God. We're supposed to go out into highways and the byways. Isn't that what he said? He sent us into the world. We're supposed to go out into the highways and the byways, and we're supposed to spread the gospel. You say, well, I'll sit at home watch preaching on TV. That doesn't do a thing for anybody, not even for you, really. You're supposed to be out there mingling with the saints, learning to love one another, and then you're supposed to take that love out into the world and show others the love of Christ. Jesus said, I do not ask on behalf of these alone, but for those also who believe in me through their word. So he wasn't talking just about his disciples. He's talking about you and I who we're going to follow. That they may all be one, even as you, Father, are in me and I in you, that they also may be in us, so that the world may believe that you sent me. We are supposed to be just like Jesus. We are supposed to be so engrossed and ingrained in God that people won't be able to tell who we are. Amen. The glory which you have given me, I have given to them. There's the glory. He's going to drop it on us really soon. We already have a portion of it, but we don't have it in its fullness right now. The glory which you have given me, I have given to them. Why? That they may be one, just as we are one. I in them, and you in me, that they may be perfected in unity, so that the world may know that you sent me and loved them, even as you have loved me. Now we, as the children of God, are supposed to be walking in perfect unity, and that's not happening. We are striving for unity, but we have not yet arrived there. I think we need to arrive. I think it, when we leave here today, we should have made up our mind. We are going to walk in perfect unity with those who are of Christ. All right? And then as we walk in perfect unity, we can, our lights will be so bright, we can then win the world to Christ. Jesus goes on to say, Father, I desire that they also, whom you have given me, be with me where I am, so that they may see my glory, which you have given me. For you loved me before the foundation of the world. God loved you before the foundation of the world. I've taught that over and over and over again. It's scriptural. He loved you before the foundation of the world. He chose you and placed you in your mother's womb. You were not a mistake. I don't care what anybody tells you. God placed you in your mother's womb for a purpose. Now, whether or not you're fulfilling that purpose is up to you. But God had a purpose for you when you were born. Well, I had to go through a lot of pain. Hey, so did Jesus. You know, that's a sure sign that you were really chosen of God before the foundation of the world to do a specific work, how much you suffered from the time you were born until you grew up. Then he goes on to say, O righteous Father, although the world has not known you, yet I have known you, and these have known that you sent me, and I have made your name known to them, and will make it known, so that the love with which you love me may be in them and I in them. O righteous Father, although the world has not known you. Guys, out there's a whole lot of people that don't know Jesus Christ. And if you and I don't tell them about Jesus Christ, if we don't tell them the truth of the word, God's going to hold us accountable for that. If you're ministering to somebody, you have to tell them exactly what God is telling you to tell them. They might think they're all right and they're on their way to heaven, and all the time they're sliding right on into the pits of hell. It's your job and my job to tell them, no, I'm sorry, guys, you can't be little sinning. That little sin's going to take you to hell. The word tells you that. God said, I don't want 99.9% of you. I want 100% of you. In other words, you cannot be a sinner and call yourself a saint. All right? It's that simple. All right, now we are ambassadors of the King. Always remember that. What do we call someone who is sent from one nation to another, representing the first nation from which they're sent? In the political realm, we call them an ambassador. They are sent as a representative of a king, authority, or nation. Every nation on earth has ambassadors, as does every king and kingdom. They are commissioned to speak or intercede on behalf of their nation, king, or people in order to bring peace, harmony, and fellowship between parties. We are ambassadors. If we're really following God with all of our heart, if we're sold out to God and God has called us to do a specific work, we are ambassadors for Christ. And we have to go out there and spread whatever God tells us to spread about heavenly places. We do not have the privilege of sitting down doing nothing. You are going to be come against. People are going to call you a hypocrite. They're going to speak all manner of evil of you. But you cannot allow that to stop you from telling the truth about the gospel. Amen. What did God tell me? I had a right to be angry. I can't remember the word he used. He didn't say right. You are entitled to be angry, but you are not entitled to carry the anger. In other words, you can have righteous anger, but then you, when it's over, you forget about it. You don't carry for days and days and days and months and years. So God entitles us. We can be angry. You know, it's something that's not right. But we don't have a right to carry it with us. So I want you all to remember that. Spiritually speaking, the Apostle Paul says that is what we are when we are in Christ, an ambassador. 2 Corinthians 5:20, Paul says we are ambassadors for Christ, not the devil. Some Christians are an ambassador for the devil. I watch them, I think, dear Lord, how can you tell anybody you're a saint when you sin the way you do? So we are ambassadors for Christ as though God were making an appeal through us. We beg you on behalf of Christ, be reconciled to God. In other words, we're asking you to please receive God as your Lord and Savior. God is saying that the backsliders are coming back into the house of God. And he said when they come in, they're going to have a lot of baggage on them. They're called the prodigals, right? The prodigals are coming back in. Hi, Jesse. How are you? The prodigals are coming back in the house of God. And so what are we supposed to do? Shun them? No. We love them. We shower them with the love of Christ as an ambassador. And we let them see that we understand that we all fail in one area or so in our lives. We are not your judge. We are an ambassador for Christ, and so we show the love of Christ. How many of you needed Jesus to be your ambassador? To go before the Father and say, don't kill them. That's what he does. He forever intercedes for us. And this is what you and I are called to do also. We're supposed to be just like Jesus. All right. It is my desire to encourage you to stand firm as ambassadors of Jesus Christ, ambassadors of his glory. God has called us to stand and represent the King of all kings and to occupy the earthly realm until he comes. Every prophetic word you're reading right now, the prophets are crying, saying God is uncovering the darkness. He is exposing people for what they truly are. He gave us years to get it right, and we didn't get it right. Now, you know, he wanted you to fall on the rock, but you didn't. So now the rock's falling on you, and he is going to uncover your sin. Everybody is going to see you as you truly are. You can say you're a Christian all you want to say, but God knows your heart, and he's going to uncover it. And the one prophecy I read about 2 o'clock this morning, the girl was literally weeping. The prophet was really weeping at what God was going to do and how people were going to be hurting when God is still uncovering, what they're doing. I would really encourage everybody in here this morning, if you call yourself a child of God and you're out there sinning, I would quickly run to the cross. I would quickly wrap myself in a blanket of blood, and I would repent very deeply. In Bible times, as ambassadors were sent into other nations, they were sometimes given a mask, so they looked exactly like the king they represented. When I wrote that, I thought about that one song Chris Tomlin sings, and they all had that little mask, and we wonder what they're for. I still wonder what they're for. All right, characteristics and assignments. Number one, as ambassadors of Jesus Christ, we have certain characteristics and assignments. God did not make clones. We all have different characteristics, and we all have different assignments. So remember that. I can't do what you're supposed to do, and you can't do what I'm supposed to do. If God called you to be a psalmist and you don't want to be a psalmist, then that's your problem, because you're going to have to answer to God for that. He'll give that assignment to somebody else. All right? All right, as ambassadors of Jesus Christ, we have certain characteristics and assignments, so we accurately represent him and his kingdom while we are here on earth. God never creates confusion. Number two, ambassadors need to know information about the King of Kings whom we're called to represent. How are you going to go out there and be an ambassador if you don't know anything about what Jesus is all about? How are you going to be able to do that if you don't know about the apostles? How are you going to do that if you don't know about God? So ambassadors need to know information about the King of Kings whom we're called to represent. All right, let's just put it another way. How are you going to go out there and be an ambassador and tell them how wonderful God is and about his miracle work and power if he has not transformed you? When he transformed you, that was a miracle. Amen. When he transformed me, that was a miracle. So what do we do as an ambassador? You go out there and say, God touched me and changed my life. I used to be, but now this is what I am today. Amen. Number three, all ambassadors in the earthly realm must be knowledgeable about the territory and the people groups from which they are sent and to which they are going. You have to know the word. And you have to know where God's sending you to. That's why he said, I'm sending you to the darkness. He said, that's why I'm sending you into the lost and dying out there in the world. And I want you to carry my light. If you don't have no light and you go into that darkness is going to consume you. How many of you in here, don't say that, but how many of you just think about this yourself. How many of you know that you had pure light in you and you got around total darkness, it started diminishing your light. That darkness started dragging you down. No matter how hard you worked to keep your light going, and we kept it going, but it was a struggle. So you're going to have to know who you are. Your light's going to have to be really super bright, so when God sends you out there into that darkness, your light's going to stay lit. In other words, you're so transformed that that enemy and his darkness can't touch you in any way, shape, or form. Amen? I feel happy this morning. I woke up happy this morning. And I know God is doing a powerful work in here. I'm having a hard time containing myself. I'm trying to be good. Number four, this is how we as ambassadors of Christ learn to intercede for the people around us and the nations of the world, knowing their strengths and weaknesses. If you don't have a one-on-one communication with God, how are you going to know how to pray for those in your household? I know everything I need to know about my people and the people in my household. I know how to pray for them. Some are going to hell, but I still know how to pray for them. Are you understanding this? Come on. You have to know what's going on in your own household. If not, the darkness is going to take you over. Number five. Ambassadors also have great responsibilities for the kingdom in order to rescue people from acts of warfare. I have to know that there's a few in my house going to hell. Why? So I can pray and intercede in God and say, God, please give them another chance. I don't want nobody to go to hell. God took me there 3 times. It's real. It's torment. I don't want to see anybody go there. He took me there because I said one time about somebody years ago, I was bad as a pastor. I hope they die and go to hell. So God took me to hell. He said, is this really what you want them to go through? I said, no, no. I don't think anybody really should go to hell. I think everybody should repent and get their life together and go to heaven. Because you won't like hell, but you'll sure love heaven. Come on. See, and that's what you have to tell people. See, God took me to hell, so I can tell you, I know hell is real. This is what's going to happen to you if you're down in hell. And you can't escape the torment. Why not just get right and go to heaven and run those streets of gold, you know, and just have a good time up there. And then one day, God's going to bring us back down here, you know. He's going to use us to start a new world, and we'll be the rulers of this world. I like that, don't you? I like that a whole lot better than being in a prison cell with fire burning me and some demon poking sticks at me. And in total torment forever and ever. Number six, as ambassadors of Christ, we take commands well. Hello. Come on, think about that. Some of you aren't obeying God yet, so you don't take commands well. As ambassadors of Christ, we take commands well and are very responsible. You can smile. I promise you won't hurt. Everybody is guilty of this in the body of Christ, I don't care who you are. Since we are acting on behalf of the King we represent, we're acting on behalf of the King we represent, which is Jesus, we must live in Christ-like holiness and power while on the earth. We must live in Christ-like holiness and power while on the earth. I'm sorry, guys, you don't have the option to act like the devil, ever. You have to act Christ-like. You have to walk in holiness. Amen. Number seven, ambassadors accept persecution. Hello. There's another thing. We don't want to be persecuted, do we? They accept persecution for their king or nation. You know, Jesus said, you will suffer for my sake. And when you suffer for Jesus, it's all right. But when you suffer because you're an idiot, that's a different story. And when I was first saved, God said, daughter, my people suffer for my sake, and you are one that's going to suffer. And you know what? He told me the truth. I have suffered ever since I received Jesus Christ, ever since I became born again. Before I became born again, there was no fight. Why? Because I was no threat to the devil. Are you understanding this? But once you give yourself, you know, become born again and really sell yourself out to God, I mean, all hell comes against you. And I said to God once I was born again, because I thought I was just going to live in the most happiest place in the earth, in the church. And it wasn't like that. And I said, God, what is going on here? I never had this before I became born again. He said, I heard you when you said, here I am, use me. And this comes along with that. So the minute you made up your mind to serve God with 100% and said, here I am, God, use me. You all said that, right? We all get rambunctious and don't understand what we're saying. The devil heard that too, and he sends his cohorts after you because he wants you out of the picture, because he knows how strong you really are. And he knows if he doesn't get you out of the picture, you're going to tear down his kingdom. So if you're suffering because you gave yourself to God, thank God you're suffering. At least you're on your way to heaven. You know, you say, well, how come bad people are just so happy? Well, hey, one day they're not going to be. They're not going to be. Because then when Satan gets them in hell, they're going to suffer. But see, we suffer now, but when we go to heaven, we're not going to be suffering no more. If you're a drug addict, you'll be down there and you'll be, give me drugs. No, don't give me drugs. Give me drugs. Don't give me drugs. If you're a whoremonger, you're going to be wanting sex, and then you're going to be throwing up as you're having sex. No, I don't want it. Yeah, give it to me. That's what God showed me in hell. He also showed me, second time I went, he showed me myself as a glutton. I was big and round and fat, and all I had was a little golf ball head. I was shoving food in my mouth, saying, I want more, more. And I said, no. And I was throwing up. I said, no, I don't want it. And I'm, please give me more. It was awful. I was under torment. So don't ever become a glutton, because that'll take you to hell too. Well, they do drugs. They drink. Well, you overeat. Hey, come on. Think about this. Well, I don't really overeat. Something's just imbalanced in my body, and I'm just fat. No, that's not true. I mean, some people are just heavy, you know, and I'm not saying don't be heavy. I'm heavy because I'm being demonically attacked. I know what my problem is, and I hate it. But, you know, and you might have problems with your, I'm just telling you what I saw in hell, right? And God doesn't want me to become a glutton, because I'll go to hell. Like people say to me, are you going to go to heaven? I say, I don't know. I'm striving every day to go to heaven. It doesn't matter if I preach for 100 years. I can make one mistake and die and go straight to hell. I am not promised a seat in heaven. The Bible tells me, walk out your salvation daily. I even told a couple members of my household, when I'm really angry sometimes at things, I said, if I died, I had a heart attack, died right now, I'd go straight to hell. And I would. I mean, I know the truth. And it sets me free because I hurry up and get out of that anger real quick, like. All right, I have a couple sounding boards at home, and I rah, 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 until that gets it out of me, and then I'm fine. I'm good to go, right? We just, you know, we're walking around in a bubble, and I'm busting your bubble today. I'm saying what you're believing is not true. You do not have a ticket to heaven. Just because you said, I love Jesus, and I'm going to church Sunday, that does not take you to heaven. It doesn't. Some days I don't want to go to church, but I got to go, or I'll go to hell. Amen? And I'm being honest. All right. I'm at number 7, I think, right? Ambassadors, we already said that. All right, number 8. Ambassadors keep their covenants and are peacemakers. If you may give God a promise, that's a covenant with God. You have to keep that covenant with God. And you're a peacemaker. You're not a troublemaker. You don't sit around and you don't gossip about people. And you don't sit around and ridicule another child of God. You don't do that. Because I'm telling you, every time you talk about me, you're in trouble with God. I'll tell you that till I'm blue in the face, because I want you to know that about yourself. If you're a true child of God, falling off all your heart, when people talk about you, they're getting chalk marks up in heaven. And one day God's going to say, you've reached your limit. And then he's going to zap you really good. That's the truth. That's the truth. All right, we are to, isn't that what we did with Jesus? He said, I've had enough of this mess. God told him one time, he said, you know, he says, the people are walking over the blood of my son. And I'm coming forth because I have to do something. Thank you. I have to do something about this. He said, I'm not going to let him walk in the blood of my son any longer. So I'm coming with my wrath. And this is what's happening for the last 3 years. God has come with his wrath because people are mocking Jesus' blood. You're calling yourself a child of God and you're out there in sin and you're mocking God, Jesus' blood. God's upset with that. He told me, don't you ever forget the blood and what it represents. So I'm telling you, don't you ever forget the blood and what it represents. It represents what? It represents power and authority, I know, but it also represents what the price Jesus paid so you would one day sit in heavenly places. And I think the body of Christ forgets that very quickly. All right, we are to extend the King's reconciliation and bring harmony to relationships, businesses, churches, and families. That does not mean we don't deal with issues that arise. We must. But we serve with boldness because we know the end of the story. I thought about something as I said, we are to extend the King's reconciliation and bring harmony to relationships. I was ministering to somebody about their marriage, and I said, you know, why don't you just get a divorce? It would be better for you to do that than all this other junk you're doing and giving God a bad name. Well, they decided to get it right. But isn't that the truth? If you're a child of God, then your marriage should be perfect. That should be an example for all to see. Hey, look, they're following God. They have love in their family. The husband treats a wife right. And the wife's walking around like she's a queen because her king is caring for her. And he's not putting her down. He's not making her a rib. You know, he's making her on the same level as he is. And he's loving her. He's not out looking at every other pair of pants that walks down the street. Bare legs, really. They don't wear pants. It's bare legs. He has eyes for his wife and his wife alone. Now, that's a true example of what a child of God should be doing. Amen? But I'll tell you in a heartbeat, if you can't get it together, then just get a divorce. Because right now, you are not a good representative of what Jesus Christ, this church, is all about. I told you to that too one time, didn't I? All right, the Apostle Paul said it like this in Romans 16:20. The God of peace will soon crush Satan under your feet. And Jesus reminded his disciples as he sent them out in Matthew 10:12-13. As you enter the home, let your peace rest on it. If the people don't receive you, he also says, shake the dust off your feet and just leave them, people. Lead them through. I don't try to get you to go to church. You know, I can't get you saved. You know where the church is at. You know where the door's at. You know how to drive there. You know how to open a doorknob, push it, whatever we have to do out there. If you want to come, you come. If you don't, you don't. Or if you want to go to another church, you can. You know, if you don't, you don't. If you think sitting at home is going to get you saved, it won't. Come on. All right, number 9. As ambassadors of Jesus Christ, we also carry the King's banner of love. Look at that real close. As ambassadors of Jesus Christ, we also carry the King's banner of love wherever we go. We don't brag about ourselves, but we exalt our King. We speak of the King's purposes for his people. Remember, we are not building false kingdoms, but rather building up the King's people. I'm going to ask you guys something. You know, pretty soon the glory is going to fall. And there's going to be one revival that won't ever stop. And God said, if you don't get in the river before that happens, you won't be able to get in. You'll be sitting at home crying the blues. Oh, I wished I would have sold myself out to God and been in church when that glory hit. Because now it's too late. Because God said, I'm passing the church by. Come on, I'm going to bring the world in and I'm going to use them. I'm going to clean them up. Come on, church. Do you want some prostitute to be prophesying to somebody in your place? Now, I'm not putting prostitutes down. I'm just saying, you know, this, you know. That's what's going to happen. Do you want some alcoholic, who God has cleaned up preaching the word and you're sitting there, or being a psalmist, let's put it that way. And you know, and there you sit in your home, hearing about this, and wishing you would have listened to God and obeyed, did what he wanted you to do. It's going to be too late really soon for the church. But for the unsaved, it's going to be a glorious time for them. Because they don't know what you know. They don't know Jesus Christ. Because they've never seen anybody that goes to church with love in them. Come on. You ain't in my home. I'm not allowed to get angry, because if I get angry, after all, you're a hypocrite. No, if you're in my home and you're not obeying my rules, I have a right to get angry. If you're in this church and you're in here as a whoremonger, I have a right to be angry with you. The Bible says so. That doesn't has nothing to do with my love. It has to do with what is right. Are you understanding this, guys? Come on. Would you allow somebody to go in your house and tell you how to live in your own house? I can't think of your husband's name. What's his name? Would you do that? No, you wouldn't, would you? I know you. You wouldn't let them in the door. But come on. That doesn't make you not a child of God. I want you to get this in your spirit today, because this is very important, that you understand what a child of God is and what a child of God isn't. All right. Number 9, as ambassadors of Jesus Christ, we also carry the King's banner of love wherever we go. I read that, didn't we? Okay. Representing Jesus means we need wisdom in every decision we face. We know how to carry the authority and wisdom of our King. You know, my son-in-law, Johnny, sitting here, and he's my sounding board. And then I said, I'm going to do blah, blah, blah. You know how we do. And then I said, well, I really have to pray and see what God wants me to do. That's always my bottom line. But I have to get that first, you know, thing out. And so I use him, because he just goes in. When sometimes I look at his face and he's thinking, my God, will she stop so I can leave? But, you know, I corner him. I'm upset. Then I go off. Better to do that than go off upset and do something dumb. You need to always seek God's face. I don't care what you're doing. Seek God's face and get his wisdom and tell you what to do and how to do it. All right, number 10, James 3:17 says, the wisdom we need from above is first pure, then peaceable, gentle, and easy to be entreated, full of mercy and good fruits, without partiality and without hypocrisy. That's the kind of wisdom we need. Without that type of wisdom, we could fail as ambassadors. Come on, guys. You need that kind of wisdom in every area of your life. Number 11 is trustworthiness and faithfulness are two more important characteristics of ambassadors. We acquire a lot of sensitive information in our journeys. And the King trusts us not to gossip, as a leaking of information could put people in jeopardy. We know how to relay the information we have only to him through prayer and loving intercession. In other words, when you hear something about somebody, you're supposed to take it to the Father. Number 12, and lastly, ambassadors give edicts, decrees, and declarations in the kingdom. We find an example of this in Esther 1:20. The king's edict, which he will make, is heard throughout all his kingdom. We need to continue to decree the king's words, because you are representing a heavenly authority. And if you're not going to go out to represent Jesus Christ, then don't tell them you're saved, because you're not. Glory and power. We need to understand that life is not about doing, but about being. God is saying to us, just be. Just be. Every place the sole of your foot treads is yours. Occupy until I come and fill the earth with the knowledge of my glory. This is God speaking. God told me, well, as soon as I was born again, daughter, every place your foot is placed becomes holy ground. And so sometimes, even in my own home, I just start walking through the house. This is holy ground, because the devil gets in there. This is holy ground. This is holy ground. This is holy, because you told me it was holy ground. God, I am bringing that holy ground forth. Amen. Each one of you in here should be so close to God that every place you walk should become holy ground. In other words, you could walk into the darkest place, and because you walked in there, the light of God and your feet being anointed breaks up that darkness. Amen. Glory, as defined in the Old Testament, means abundance, riches, honor, splendor, dignity, reverence, and weight. It is a most glorious and exalted state to be in. It is a revelation and manifestation of all that he has and is. If you think about it, it seems as if God is pleased to share his glory. He wants us all to carry his glory. Scripture indicates that God's glory is often linked with God's power. Paul speaks of the connection between glory and power when he says in Ephesians 3:16 that he would grant you, according to the riches of his glory, to be strengthened with power through his spirit in the inner man, so that Christ, the Messiah, may dwell in your hearts through faith. So we're not only supposed to carry the glory of God, we're supposed to carry the power of God. And the only way we can do that is by being true ambassadors to Christ. This is just one more example of glory connected to power. In fact, the glory of the Lord is so powerful that the priest could not even stand to minister. You know, when I stepped down off the pulpit yesterday when I was preaching, I didn't realize the anointing was on me as strong as it was, and about fell flat on my face. I had to get you have to lock your knees and so you can walk or fall down, one or the other. And I sat down and said, God, you should have warned me that I was anointed, you know, so I wouldn't have stepped down like that. Usually somebody helps me down. 1 Kings 8:10, and it came to pass when the priest came out of the holy place that the cloud filled the house of the Lord, so that the priest could not continue ministering because of the cloud, for the glory of the Lord filled the house of the Lord. When God's glory comes, his power is made evident. Every one of you in here, your home should be so full of the glory, when people walk through your door, it should hit them. And they should say, wow, what's in here? And you're just standing there smiling. It's the glory of God that we're carrying, and when you walk through my door, you feel that glory. Amen. When people come in here, they said you feel the glory hit you when you walk in the door. And when I used to have church in my house, people used to come to my house that didn't even go to the church, and they were friends of mine, and they would just want to sit in the church in the room we used for the church because they wanted to feel the glory of God. And see, this is what we all should be, though, saints. We all should be so full of the power of God and anointing of God that people really do want to hug you. You know, when I work, people just say, can I just touch you? You know, just by touching you, they felt the glory. And this is how we all need to be. And you can all be glory carriers because the glory is in this church. The power is in this church. You know, it's up to you whether or not you receive it. When I said the atmosphere is charged today, you should receive that charge that was here. All right, becoming like the king. I'll hurry this. I know your dinner's ready. Does the king automatically send out ambassadors with no training? According to 1 Thessalonians 2:4, the Lord is looking for those who are prepared. Just as we have been approved by God to be entrusted with the gospel, so we speak not as pleasing men, but God who examines our hearts. So how does God prepare us? Jesus gave us one of several prerequisites in Matthew 22:37, where he says, you should love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind. I don't care what the world has done to you. I really don't. You are supposed to love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind. Put aside what happened to you 10 years ago. Come on. Put aside what happened to you 10 minutes before you walked through the door. God, we're supposed to love God, and we can't hold on to offenses. You were taught that yesterday. This is a great and foremost commandment. Spending time with God on a daily basis is vital if we are to become like the king. Representing him well and wearing his mask, looking like him wherever we go. We must also be teachable. There's a lot of people that aren't teachable. One of the main differences between the original 12 disciples, which were ambassadors, and the rest of us, is the fact that they had 3 years alone with Jesus, and they still did not understand him. Amen. They knew and believed that they were to advance God's kingdom and carry the gospel message to the world. We know they were not without faults and shortcomings. Not even one of the chosen 12 disciples was a scholar or a rabbi. They had no extraordinary skills, neither religious nor refined. They were ordinary people just like you and me, and they were mentored by the very best, and that was Jesus. Now, Brother Chris told us that two were princes, so I don't know. I had never seen that before. I have to look that up. Would we really want that? to be alone with Jesus for 3 years and allow him to be our mentor, expounding all things. Moses was on the backside of the desert for 40 years. Paul was somewhere for what? 3 years or so. You know, to be alone with God. He prepares everybody before he sends them out, but everybody wants to go. They go out there and do dumb things. You know, I was born again, totally and completely filled with the Holy Spirit. Didn't know it. Gifted like you wouldn't believe, but yet God didn't use me for at least, well, from 77 to 80. That's 3 years. But I was just as gifted 3 years later as I was the day I was born again. But God didn't use me then. See, I had to learn how ignorant the body of Christ is. That's the truth. Before he sent me out, he had to let me know the body of Christ is not loving and caring. They'll devour you because of jealousy. All right? There might be things in you that God needs to get out of you before he sends you out there. All right, I mean, it's so easy to shout victory and sing and dance in a crowd, but how about when we're all alone with the Spirit of Jesus? And number 13, as ambassadors, we need to learn victory in the secret place because we might be asked to slay giants publicly for the King. If I don't learn to control my temper in my house, I sure am not going to be sent out in the public with it. Right? 14, ambassadorial training teaches us the difference between adversity and warfare. Adversity changes us internally, making us like the King, and it should actually help us remain set like flint, whereas warfare is an external battle with the enemy. I'm not going to repeat this because it's running late. Number 15, as ambassadors of Jesus Christ, we also determine standards of excellence. We don't pull the King of Kings down to our level, but we reach for his. And that's the first thing God ever told me when I was born again. Never go down to the enemy's level. Always pull the enemy up to your level. In other words, somebody's in sin. Don't you stoop to their sin. You stay holy and you bring them up to your place of holiness. And so here we say, don't pull the King of Kings down to our level, but we reach up for his. We surrender to him completely, realizing that any strength that we have may work against us. Any strength we have may work against us, because the King works out of our weaknesses, not our strengths. Now see, Brother Brett has charisma. He's been writing books all his life. He could talk his way out of a bag, but that doesn't give him an anointing. That's his strength. That's not his weakness. Think about that, Brother Brett. As I wrote this, I thought about you. Now, I can just talk, and I can just, you know, he can stand up here, and boy, he can really, really talk. But what's going on inside of him? Come on. Remember, we are representing Jesus, not ourselves. Wearing his mask, looking like him. Now you're thinking, I see that. Wearing his mask, looking like him, and walking in his authority and power. We're walking in the authority and power of Jesus. Number 16, we must continually learn and believe that we are ambassadors of glory, keeping God's covenants and filling the earth with his knowledge, not ours. Our knowledge stinks. And where are these promises? The covenants of God contained. Where are these promises, the covenant of God contained? In the Ark of his covenant, which is you and I. These things are contained within inside of us. And as he sends us out as ambassadors, it comes out. How astounding that he lives within us so we can bring glory to him, representing heaven on earth. He is not living in us so we can act dumb. He's living in us so we can bring glory to him. And I don't know about you, but I really don't ever want to bring shame to my Father. And that's why I really, really do pray and pray and pray for before I ever do anything, because I don't want to be out of his will, and I don't want to ever bring shame to him. And so I really keep myself, you know, I always check myself continually so that I can be a good ambassador for Christ. Hey, I'm human. And in my bedroom where nobody else is there, I can rant and rave. You know, go before God and rant and rave about some injustices that I see going on. But I take care of it in there, in the prayer place. And then I go out. And I'm an ambassador for Christ. If not, I could knock all your heads together right now. Isn't that the truth? Don't you see people do dumb things? You really, really would like to do that, but you're an ambassador for Christ. And you're supposed to spread the love of Christ abroad. You're supposed to bring peace and not division. This is Resurrection Sunday. Jesus hasn't been in that grave for so long, I don't even like to even see the picture of the grave. But we do it because that's what everybody else does. But you know, we shouldn't. We should have Jesus dancing over the bulletin front, right? Rejoicing. Because finally somebody has realized he is in that grave. It hasn't been for quite some time. So I'm asking you this morning, are you an ambassador for Christ? Are you truly, truly following Christ with all your heart? Are you without sin? If you just said yes, you're a liar. Because there's not one of us in here this morning is not without sin. The Bible says so. But are you striving for perfection? Are you striving to be the best example of Jesus Christ that you can possibly be? You all know there was this period in my life where I just didn't want to preach and I didn't want to prophesy and I let everybody else do it because I was not a good example. I was not a good ambassador for Christ. I had a lot going on in my life and I was really hurt and wounded, really bad. I just couldn't understand why God was making me go through what I was going through. I was being degraded terribly, you know, and embarrassed every place I went. And so I wasn't a good example. I wasn't a good ambassador, so I sat down. God wouldn't let me quit. He made me get up and preach, but I let others in the church do most of the work. But God finally says, time you stand up. Take your rightful place back in my body and be the ambassador you always were. I'll take care of those who have degraded you. I'll take care of those who are belittling you day in and day out. I'll take care of those who are coming against you, but you go and you be my ambassador. You have all the tools you need inside. Now go forth and use them. So I'm asking you this morning, are you willing to say, God, here I am. I want to be a true ambassador for you. I want it when the mask I wear is Jesus Christ. And wherever I go, they'll see Jesus Christ in me. Amen. If you really want to be an ambassador for Christ, then you come up here and you make that covenant with God this morning. Don't break it now. If you don't want to be an ambassador for Christ, then don't come. You don't have to come. We're not going to talk about you. We'll wait till you leave, and then we'll do that. No, we won't talk about you. But I'm just giving you the chance to make a covenant with God that, God, I haven't been a true ambassador, but I really want to be a true ambassador. I want to be a true example of what Jesus is all about. This is your opportunity to sell out to God right now.